Hey, everybody. Welcome to the New Market Alliance Church podcast, where you're invited to not just attend church or watch church or, in this case, listen to church, but actually go and be the church. For everything you need to know about our community, be sure to go to newmarketalliance.ca and maybe even drop us a line to let us know you're listening. We read everything you send and we'll be sure to get back to you. Our worship service happens every Sunday at 10 a.m. in person or streaming online. We want you to know you absolutely matter to God, and you absolutely matter to us. Everyone is welcome and wanted. Now, let's join today's teaching.
We do life best when we do it in community. We do life best when we do it in community. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, it takes a village to raise a child. Yeah, you've heard that before. This proverb, which originates from African cultures, signifies that a child's health and their healthy development relies upon the collective effort and support of many different people, not just their parents. The village comprises of family, friends, neighbors, teachers, community members, all who contribute to providing a child with a safe, nurturing environment as they are guided in their growth. The truth is, each and every one of us are children of God, and we all need a village. You need a village, and so do I. We need that in our lives as we grow and as we aspire to be all that God wants us to be. Not only do we need a village or a community, but that same community needs you. It needs you. Without others, you are missing out. And without you, others are missing out. As followers of Christ, I want to ask you this question. How would you describe or define what it is to have community in life and in ministry? Think about that for a second. In other words, what does this rich, deep community, what does it look like? What does it actually feel like? What does it live like each and every day of the week? I hear often from Jonathan as he dismisses you to go into the world to be the church. What does it look like to live that expression out in community? So over these few moments together, the underlying question I want us to address is, what value does community bring to the life of a follower of Jesus Christ? So really, to begin our time, I want to acknowledge perhaps what's been the exact opposite of what we've been taught most of our lives. In the Western world in which we live, we value and almost idolize independence, don't we? Independence. We have songs like, I've Got to Be Me. Remember that old Frank Sinatra song, I Do It My Way, I'll Do It My Way. Or most recently, Kelly Clarkson's song, Miss Independent. Or Bon Jovi's song, It's My Life, and I'll Live It My Way. I don't need anybody else to tell me what and how I need to live. And we've bought into this myth, thinking that says that the key to happiness, this key to fulfillment in life, is actually independence. If I have relational independence, if I have financial independence, if I have independence in every area of my life, if I'm self-sufficient, then I'll be happy. I'll be fulfilled. And obviously, friends, that's just a lie. It's not true at all. God says that the key to living as a follower of Jesus Christ and the key to live the life to its fullest, as John 10:10 wants us to, is not independence, but it's interdependence. We need each other, and we belong to each other. German-American psychologist Erik Erikson said this, life doesn't make any sense without interdependence. We need each other, and the sooner we learn that, the better for us all. Sometimes we look upon being interdependent as almost a sign of weakness, But for us, it's a sign of strength. And certainly as the Christian community, as we come together, as we're there to be with one another, support one another, we will experience tremendous strength and value. When I talk about community, I'm not simply talking about a worship gathering, as wonderful as this is. The level of community that we need to experience is far beyond what this is, where we can be fully developed, where we can actually be fully experienced the good life that God has for us. We can't do that simply in this time and space. Sunday morning is that experience of an inspired worship moment where we open up the Word of God and where we experience worship, an inspired worship moment through the leadership team and the worship team. But doing life in community with other points of connection provide us with the opportunity to experience the fuller life, as well as just to grow in our faith. Grow in our faith. Where we can truly practice the one another's of scriptures, of the scripture. Where we love one another, where we accept one another, where we support one another, where we encourage one another, we build up one another, we're being at peace with one another, we're patient with one another. Did you know that there's some 59 one another occurrences in the scriptures? And in community, where we have these more intimate expressions of opportunity together, we can begin to live out those one another experiences. Obeying these commands of one another is a prime concern of what the early church represented. It's Andy Stanley that said this: the primary activity of the church was one anothering one another. And how true that is. Moments where we are both encouraged and challenged in our faith and our pursuit of Christ-likeness. Brian, as an independent, cannot do that. But Brian, as I'm interdependent, has greater opportunity. Glenda and I, we regularly use the U version on our phone. We walk pretty much every single morning, and we each have an earbud, or we just listen to it on our phone, and we bring up some of the Bible readings and the devotions that are on the U version app. And this one that we came across, it was called Better Together. And it defined community like this: as Christ followers, community is having meaningful relationships where we do life together. By sharing, encouraging, serving, forgiving, fasting, witnessing, all these wonderful things that you're going to be moving towards. It's a safe place where we can share our greatest accomplishments and joys, as well as our darkest moments and failures. It is where we show up in each other's lives for the magnificent and the mundane. It's knowing and being known deeply. It is pursuing God and growing into the best version of ourselves for His glory. It is fighting the good fight and helping those around us fight it as well. In other words, it's being in one another's corner. It's coming alongside to support and encourage one another. It's through this type of community that God helps us to overcome our struggles and to truly grow in our faith and mature in Him. These intimate relationships help us to overcome fear and loneliness and frustrations and despair, all those things that so often when we're on our own, we can begin to experience. A colleague friend of ours recently stated that relative to the experience of loneliness, which from my understanding in York region is the number one need that people experience, is loneliness. But as it relates to loneliness, he said this: it's not that there's a lack of people, but there's a lack of connection. There's a lack of meaningful community with one another. So often we choose to travel and journey through life all alone, and as a result, the realities of loneliness and fear, they just come upon us. It's this deep community that will help us to overcome those difficult situations and moments life brings. If we're honest with one another, life is difficult sometimes, isn't it? We're confronted with things that can really set us back on our backs. But it's this deep community that will help us grow our faith, where we can be comforted, where we can be confronted, and where we can spur one another on towards the full life experience in Christ. I love the verse in Romans 12:5. It's a key verse. It says, we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members, I love this, who belong to one another. Isn't that great to realize that? It's just not the immediate family that we belong to, your wife, your children, your grandchildren, but rather we belong to a much greater family and larger family. We are connected because of who we are in Christ. Through this membership, we actually fit together in a beautiful way. It has immense value. See, friends, community isn't an option. It's a necessity. It's a necessity for us. You may feel like you don't need other people in your life, but the truth is you absolutely do if you're going to actually contribute to what God wants you to do in life. To be all that God wants you to be. To fulfill the design and the plan that God has for you while you're on this planet. We need one another. People are people. And the value of connecting and caring for others is not just a spiritual desire. It's a human desire. And the moment in which we can walk with those that we work with, those that are in our neighborhood, even though they themselves might be far from God, there is this deep desire that they want to connect as well. It's not just a spiritual desire, it's a human desire. Deep in the human spirit, there is this longing to belong, this longing to be included. That's why one of the worst kind of punishment in corrections is solitary confinement. We're made for relationships. God has wired us in that beautiful way. There's something beautifully engaging when you can get to know someone, when you can get to know their name, get to know them, their person, get to know their faith, get to know their journey that they're on. There's something very special that begins to happen. But what does our culture direct us to? It directs us to Facebook or self-help books or Google or Instagram or any social media platform. And believing that we can have friends that are more digital than in person. There's just something beautiful about being able to engage one-on-one with individuals. Isn't it true that we live in a world where we have many friends, but we have no deep connections in life? Where we're flooded with information, with more information than we know what to do with. Somebody said this, content is one thing, but community and connection is what unites us and makes the difference. And it's so true. So true. As we move along the road of deeper community together, something spiritually begins to happen. And I can't help but think of what Jonathan was saying earlier, that the best is yet to come. I believe it's as we begin to experience the community, the biblical community, as described in Scripture, that we are going to experience that better which is to come. Something spiritually happens with us as followers of Jesus Christ. We begin to grow in our faith. When we begin to pray together, when we begin to serve together, when we begin to witness together, we begin to experience this transformation within our own heart and within our own soul. Spiritually, our love begins to grow for others around us. You see, friends, the greatest lesson that you and I can possibly learn is how to love. Love God. And love others. And we see that command recorded in the Gospels. In Mark 12, 30 and 31, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. We learn how to love through relationships and through community together. And so as followers of Jesus Christ who want to grow, and I trust you want to grow, we need others to walk with us in life. And what does that mean? Is that I need you and you need me. The elders of this church need you and you need them. Jonathan needs you and you need him. We need one another in a beautiful way. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another with mutual love. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11 it says, therefore encourage one another and build up each other, just as in fact you are doing. The Bible often compares our lives to a walk because we're on a journey together. We just don't sit still. Throughout the New Testament, we're told to walk in wisdom, to walk in the light, to walk in love, to walk in obedience, to walk in the Spirit, to walk as Jesus walked. But one of the key ways that God tells us to walk is in this community together, because we're never meant to walk through life alone. As a result, we're going to experience many different practical benefits because of being in community together. The first one is it's very supportive. There's something about one another coming together and supporting one another. It's very supportive. And what I mean by that, it keeps you from giving up. There's many times in our lives, even in my own Christian experience, you sort of hit the wall sometimes. You have those difficult moments and you wonder whether it's worth it and you want to give up sometimes. But when you're walking with other people, you get the energy to keep going and to keep on keeping on. Keep doing and keep moving forward. One that runs marathons is encouraged by those around them, even though they might experience pain and even that stitch in the side. When they see other runners, it actually encourages them to run alongside them and keep going. There's an old Zambian proverb that says, when you run alone, you run fast, but when you run together, you run far. I think that's good words, right? That's good words. Life is not a 100-yard or 100-meter dash. It's a marathon. And each and every one of us want to make it to the end of life. And the best way that you're going to make it to the end of life is the way in which God wants you to have other people intimately a part of your life, a part of your journey, a part of your walk. It's not only supportive, but it's also smarter. It's also safer. It's just smarter to go through life together. We learn more by walking with others than we do by ourselves. I don't know everything. And it might surprise you that Jonathan doesn't either. None of us do. Proverbs 28:26 says, those who trust their own insight are foolish, but anyone who walks in wisdom is safe. In other words, only fools trust in what they think alone. Dismissing everybody else's contribution to their thoughts and their understandings. If you're walking alone through life, you don't have anybody to say, you know what, you're off the path right now. Nobody to hold you accountable. Nobody to remind you of what's most important, that you missed this or you missed that, and you need to step back in. The Bible tells us that in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Safety. After having created the first man, Adam, we read that it's not good for man to be alone. So God created woman out of Adam's rib. And that was the first physical family. But further than that, God created the spiritual family. So we have two groups. We have the physical family and we have the spiritual family. The physical family is the one that you grew up in. But that one ultimately is only temporary. The spiritual family, God's church, is the one you have for the rest of your life and will lead you on through to eternity. So the Hebrew writer in chapter 10 says this, let us consider how we may spur one another. I like that. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But here it is, but encouraging one another. Yeah. God's revealed through Scripture that we need other people in our lives. I can't possibly be where I am today in my own Christian journey if it wasn't for other people that really poured into me, that helped me, directed me, guided me. And I'm not dismissing the person of the Holy Spirit when I talk about those that were able to support me. The Bible is very clear, because life is about relationships, not about achievements, right? And our culture suggests the exact opposite. It talks about achievement, 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 but it's about relationships. John Mark Comer, in a book called Practicing the Way, if you've never picked that book up or read that book, it's a powerful book. And he says this, community, I love this, community is like the incubator for our spiritual formation. And he quotes this Dr. Joseph Hellerman, and he says this, long-term interpersonal relationships are the crucible of genuine progress in the Christian life. People who stay also grow. People who leave do not grow. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:1, keep being concerned about each other as the Lord's followers should. Friends, we're family. We're brothers. We're sisters. I help you stay on track. You help me stay on track. As mentioned earlier, life is tough. And added to the difficulties of life, there's an enemy that's out there, an evil one who wants to disrupt and who wants to hurt us. He wants to create division. He wants to create faction. He wants to create conflict. He wants to create disunity amongst us. And he does that because he can't hurt God. And so because he can't hurt God, he's going to go after God's children. And that's you and I. And he'll do all that he can to break things down for us. The moment that you wake up in the morning, the evil one is already plotting to get at you, to cause you to waste your day, to blow it with anger or worry or fear or shame. He'll just try to get you all messed up. We're never going to win against the devil on our own. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need community to watch out for us and to help us. Comer went on to say in his book, you can't follow Jesus alone. You can't follow him alone. It says, not shouldn't, you can't. It's not even an option. Jesus didn't have a disciple, but rather he had disciples, plural. He called people to apprentice under him in community. And he goes on to say this, honestly, I can tell you from over a decade of living in very close community, it's not easy, but it's worth it. We can all tell stories of how deep the pain cuts when it goes horribly, horribly wrong. But when it goes right, it's a glimpse of eternity in time. Jonathan shared earlier that he believes the best is yet to come. And I believe that, not only for NAC, but for the church. The church at large, where we do life in community and where we earnestly seek after God. If we're placing ourselves in that kind of position, the best is yet before us, friends. Found out that this is your 40th anniversary. Happy anniversary, NAC. That's an exciting, exciting time, place that you find yourself in. You know, in the Bible, the number 40 appears very frequently. And it actually signifies a period of testing, a period of trial, a period of spiritual preparation. It's associated with significant events and individuals. And while it has literal instances like 40 days of rain during the flood, it also carries a symbolic weight, representing a significant length of time for spiritual development and spiritual action. I don't know if you know this, but in the Bible, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but then day 41 came and the rain stopped. Moses committed murder and then hid in the desert for 40 years. Year 41 came and God called him to rescue Israel. Moses went up to the mountains for 40 days, and on day 41 he received the Ten Commandments. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Year 41, they walked into the promised land. Goliath taunted Israel for 40 days. And then day 41 came and David defeated him. Jonah preached the message of repentance to the community of Nineveh for 40 days. On day 41, God stopped his plan to destroy them. Jesus fasted and was tempted for 40 days. And day 41 came and the devil fled. After his resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples for 40 days. And day 41, he ascended into heaven. Nak, you're going to be entering, as you celebrate your 40th anniversary, you're going to be entering into year 41. What is it that God is saying to you as a church? What does God want from you as a church? What does he want from you as a community, as a people, as a person? As it's been announced, starting next Sunday, you're going to be working through this series, looking at various disciplines and opportunities of which will speak to your own spiritual development and point you towards divine direction. I really want to encourage you, as Jonathan already did, don't miss out on that. Don't miss out on the opportunity to see what God is going to do. To grow your faith, to mature you in the Lord, to build that spiritual muscle. Are you ready to step up? I'm going to invite the ushers to just pass out a card. As Jonathan's alluded to, we really do want you to step in to this new series. As a community, as a person, as individuals. And one of the greatest things that you can do is that you can begin to pray for one another. And this is simply just a little covenant card that we've created. And what it is, it's to pray for your other's commitment to growth and their maturity in Christ. This isn't something you're going to hand in, but I do want to challenge you as you take this home, that you would sign it, that you'd bow in a moment of prayer before your Lord and say, you know what? Yes, I'm going to pray for this family or this person. I'm going to pray for our staff. I'm going to pray for the elders. I'm going to pray for those that are leading this church. And there's just simply some samples right from Scripture of how we can pray for one another. Friends, prayer is where it begins. It's not the end, but it's the beginning, I believe, of what God wants to do. It's the beginning of what is best that is yet to come. As we bow the knee, bow our heads, and we continue to pray for one another and continue to build our life in a manner and a way that is going to honor Him for the cause of Christ, to build His church, and to build followers of Christ. So as we sing this song, maybe you just want to reflect on that card. Maybe you want to take the opportunity to sign it. But take it home and allow it to be a reminder to you. Put it on your fridge. Put it on your mirror that you look in every day. Be reminded of the commitment that you want to make for that which is yet to come for NAC. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we've been able to share together. As we look at your word and understand the value of community, what it is to do life together, to walk alongside one another, to fulfill the one another's of Scripture, to grow in our faith, to mature, not to be satisfied with where we were this time last year in our own spiritual development, but to be challenged to grow forward, to step into this incredible series that Jonathan's been inspired to create of these next 40 days. What it looks like. What it can feel like. What it can live out to be like. So Father, bless us. And may your Holy Spirit strengthen and encourage us now and in these days that are ahead. For I pray in the name of Christ. And everybody said, amen.